Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Today's episode is dedicated to another question from a podcast listener. And this question was all about how to prevent and treat urinary bladder infections or urinary tract infections as soon as you start to feel one, or if you're a person that gets them chronically, how can you prevent them from showing up? Because, of course, the idea here is to keep folks off of antibiotics all the time, because that is the common treatment for prevention of urinary tract infections. So what I'm going to go through today is talking about what I know that works and the sequence in which I have people taking these things in an acute situation and in a chronic preventative type of situation. Because ultimately, what's happening with a urinary tract infection is that you're getting a bacteria, and most of the time it's E. coli, crawling up the urethra, which sounds kind of gross, but it is what it is, and it gets into the urethra, causes irritation, and then it can end up in the bladder and cause all kinds of irritation. And for a lot of ladies, this is a big issue, but I've also seen fellas having issues with this. Now, our ladies' urethras are shorter than guys' urethras, so it's a little bit harder for a guy to get a bladder infection, but it can happen, and it's commonly treated with antibiotics, but it doesn't have to be. And the common antibiotics for treating bladder infections have a lot of side effects. And I've seen people in my practice who have had ligament and tendon issues since using medications such as Levaquin or Cipro. And it's not that I don't prescribe these ever. I sometimes do in the cases when things are serious. But in cases of an uncomplicated, meaning a simple urinary tract infection, all of the things that I'm going to mention today are absolutely useful. And the reason I say urinary tract infection and bladder infection, a lot of us call it a bladder infection, and you heard me just a couple seconds ago say that, and it's kind of the common term, but usually it's a urinary tract infection. So in the passageway between the universe and your bladder, so that tube, is where things start. And you want to kind of keep it there and get rid of it at that point, because once it gets to the bladder, it does get more intense. And of course, our big goal is to prevent kidney infections from starting. And those are a big issue, and you definitely don't want things to get there. So today I'm going to talk about how to prevent yourself from getting a kidney infection, but really what to do in the moment when you notice that things aren't right when you pee. And guys, if you're listening to this, you can help your ladies out and help prevent things like this from happening in yourself as well. So why do we get a bladder infection? Like I said before, the E. coli can be a problem, but also lack of hydration, so being dehydrated, not taking care of proper hygiene after sex. But in the case of a lot of ladies, anyone who is active, meaning folks who are running actively, who are riding bikes, you're kind of setting yourself up for a urinary tract infection if you're not hydrating properly, but also if you're not cleaning the gear in which you use when you're doing those things. Because let's face it, sometimes we don't have time to quick
wash our gear, and maybe we don't have more than one of our riding pants for bike riding. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, the bike riding pants and the mountain bike riding pants have little things that look like diapers in them to help keep your bum and the in-between parts from hurting too bad while you're riding. And those guys absorb all kinds of gross things. And unfortunately, when they're not washed properly and frequently, you can set yourself up for having some issues with your bladder. So one of those things to keep in mind. Another biggie is how we wash our underwear, which might sound really silly, but a lot of us are using cold temperatures to wash our clothes and then throwing things into the dryer. It's not enough to kill bacteria that might be growing or yeast that might be growing on your underwear. So it sounds kind of gross, but you definitely want to be using hot water when you are washing your underwear if you are prone to bladder infections or yeast infections. So little public service announcement there. And cotton underwear is the best, and folks might associate that with granny panties. And, well, yeah, there's some, but there's some pretty cool cotton underwear out there. So just get a size bigger than you normally wear because it'll shrink with the hot water, but it's worth it in the end. All right, public service announcement over. Let's jump into how you treat a urinary tract infection. So maybe you've had one before, maybe you haven't, but if you have, you know the recognizable signs. Starts to hurt when you pee, and you're starting to have some uncomfortable kind of pressure sensation in your bladder area that just won't leave. And then when you go pee, it feels like you have to keep going pee, like every few minutes. That is pretty classic signs of urgency. You got to hurry up and get to go. And then frequency, feeling like you've got to pee 100 times, even though your normal routine wouldn't be that you would be in the bathroom every 5 minutes. That's not the way it should be. So when you have those kind of symptoms, the first thing that I tell folks is you want to still stay hydrated, because the first reaction for, I think, a lot of people is to go, oh, well, I don't want to drink water because then I'll have to pee. But you want to flush out those E. coli that are trying to stick to the inside of your urinary tract lining and crawl up to your bladder. So hydration first. One of the things you can do with hydration that's super easy is D-mannose powder. D-mannose is a sugar, but it's not like it's going to feed these E. coli. It's actually going to prevent them from adhering any further to your bladder and to your urinary tract lining. So D-mannose powder, if you are commonly getting bladder infections, I highly recommend that you have this stuff on hand. One of the easiest products to get a hold is something called Clear Tract Powder. But all of your supplement stores have this powder. And I like it in the water because you can have it as a constant source going through your system. Now, say you're one of these people that you just prefer pills, that's fine too. There are D-mannose pills. And I will put the Clear Tract Powder link at the end of my notes and my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So if you're looking for that, go check that out. But Clear Tract Powder is what I usually have folks have on hand. And, you know, you might want to be considering, if you're trying to do things more natural and trying to avoid a whole bunch of antibiotics in your life, you might want to consider having this on hand. It's really useful, especially if you're a hiker, like you're going for overnight backpacking hikes, you mountain bike, you run. It's one of those things that over time might happen to you. So D-mannose powder is great to have on hand. And typically I will use 1 teaspoon of D-mannose powder for chronic bladder/urinary tract infection patients, and they're just drinking it daily as their preventative versus what would conventional medicine would give you, Macrobid, which is generic as nitrofurantoin. It is a type of antibiotic that folks unfortunately on day in, day out, and that does nothing for your health other than make you weaker. So trying to think of some natural options is highly important, and playing with them to see what works for you. My second favorite thing to have on board is something called Uva Ursi. It's been used since the 13th century for helping to kick bladder and urinary tract infections. So it has a long, long history. It's been researched a ton. And I will use this three caps every 4 hours, and I'll have patients wake up in the middle of the night to take it too, because I feel like just sleeping and then that urine sitting there in that bladder, I feel like it's like a nice petri dish for more stuff to keep growing. So I think it's important to hit it hard and kick that sucker out. So Uva ursi also has another name of Arcus staphylus, or bearberry as the common name. And that guy is super easy to get a hold of. It's at every supplement store out there. You will find it. In terms of brands, there's a ton of them. I will put my favorite brands in the podcast notes. If you can get your hands on the actual Uva ursi leaf, that is really cool, because now you can make a tea. And you can make a tea with that, throw some D-mannose in it, and boom, you've got yourself a nice little urinary tract bladder infection preventative tonic. And I will put my full tonic recipe at the end of my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. Now, another herb that I really love to use for little bit more serious bladder infections. So say you didn't get the herbs right away, or you didn't have anything on hand to help you, and you waited 24 hours from your first symptoms. Oregon grapefruit, otherwise known as Mahonia, that can be a very, very helpful herb. And notice I said Oregon grapefruit, not to be confused with grape seed and all these other things that are out there. I also will dose this one high at 500 milligrams three times a day with the Oregon grapefruit. And once again, don't panic if you don't have a chance to write this stuff down. I have podcast notes with all of my protocols that I'm mentioning here in this podcast at drjkrausnd.com. Now, the Oregon grapefruit, the Uva ursi, and the increasing hydration, along with your D-mannose, those are my four go-to in terms of things to have in the cabinet and things to just bust out as soon as you start to feel that uncomfortable situation that suggests that you might be getting a bladder infection or a urinary tract infection. Now, the other huge critical things to do: stop drinking alcohol, stop eating sugar. Those two things irritate the bladder and the urinary tract like no other. Sugar, because it's feeding E. coli, but also because it's messing with your pH balance. You don't want that happening. You want to be able to clear the sucker. Just wipe that out. Now, I had mentioned that I have a tonic that I like to make for preventing and also kicking out a urinary tract infection in the moment. And what it is the Uva ursi leaf that I mentioned. It's also marshmallow root, and I mix those two together, make a tea. So I take the leaf of the Uva ursi and I take the root of the marshmallow, and it sounds like it's going to be so sweet and delicious. It's not. It's not like what you're imagining. It'll taste kind of grassy, but it's worth it. And I take those two together and I boil them up about 15 minutes, bring it to a boil, let those herbs steep in there about those 15 minutes. And I'll usually make like 6 cups of this stuff. And I use 1 teaspoon of the dry herb per cup. And I'll just boil it up and you'll get a big 6 cup thing going on. And you can drink it cool, you can drink it warm, but you want to keep drinking it throughout the day and throw your D-mannose powder in there. And so that is the tonic. Now, the 6 cup deal, drinking it more frequently is when you want to kick out an acute infection, but when it's a chronic one, this is where you only need like a cup or two a day. 6 cups to 8 cups is what I'm doing for acute situations, to just keep someone hydrated and knock these suckers out, because you just don't want to be messing around with these urinary tract infections that just keep persisting forever and ever and ever, and it's kind of low grade. So that being said, let's talk a little bit more about habits to prevent urinary tract and bladder infections, and also talk about what to do in terms of a chronic infection and what to do if these particular products I mentioned are not doing the job and you still have the symptoms. And also, how to determine, is it really a urinary tract infection or do you got something else going on? So let's jump into that next. I found an article in Nature magazine that was talking all about the frequency in urinary tract infections in females. And 6 in 10 women are reported to have chronic urinary tract infections. And I would agree with this in terms of what I see in my practice. I think that is pretty darn accurate. It's quite common. Let me give you a little details from this article. It's saying that approximately 50 to 60% of women develop a urinary tract infection over their lifetime, with one-third of those folks experiencing it at least by age 26. A recurrent UTI is defined, and let's give you the definition here, and I'm reading from the article, as more than 2 episodes of uncomplicated UTIs within 6 months or more. And it's also within 3 to 12 months. And so that's pretty common. I'll see folks have a bladder infection, and then unfortunately they will have taken antibiotics because they didn't, you know, it was their first time around. And then 3 months later, they've already got another infection. And so this is pretty common, and I find it in the 20s to be quite common. I had this happen to myself, and so I am well versed in what to do when someone has a urinary tract infection. It's also extremely common for ladies that are perimenopausal or menopausal to start getting recurrent urinary tract infections, because as estrogen levels drop, we lose vaginal lubrication. And let's face it, yes, urinary tract infections can be associated with sex and not doing the things you need to do, like a little bit of a ritual, once you are done having sex. And so there is some connection there in terms of dropping of the estrogen status and getting urinary tract infections. And so if you're headed into menopause or you're suspecting you are, it's a good idea to get a test to look to see where your estriol is, E-S-T-R-I-O-L, and see if that might be part of the factor here. Now, 70 to 95%, and I would say, yes, this is pretty accurate as well, according to this article, that E. coli is the main bacteria that is causing our urinary tract infections. Now, when I test urine at my office, I will find that other things can be causing these bladder infections, but most of the time it is E. coli. Now, in my perimenopausal ladies, that's where I'll tend to see different organisms causing urinary tract infections. Now, I have been asked, can yeast cause a urinary tract infection? I would say that to be more accurate on the statement on this one, it would be more that the yeast would cause irritation that would feel like a urinary tract infection. And so something to think about here in this case, if we are trying to determine what exactly is causing your urinary tract infection, I highly recommend going into your doc and having your urine dipped, meaning that doc's going to have someone in their office. They might do it themselves. I sometimes will do it myself. But they'll dip the urine, meaning they're going to test it to see if it has white blood cells in it, to see if it shows up with nitrates. And then it's also going to be sent off to a lab to culture it to see what grows. And usually this is kind of known as a clean catch urine test. And basically what that means is you've got to not contaminate that sample, meaning you have to do a little procedure in the office when you gather your urine. And the doc's office can explain that for you in greater detail. But it's basically just trying not to get your own cells into the sample to contaminate. So anyway, that being said, that is a type of test that I do recommend, especially if you're getting chronic urinary tract infections. I think it's important for you to know what is the source of it. You know, is it E. coli? Then you can go back and go, okay, then I need to work on some of my hygiene. Now, I'm not saying y'all are dirty. I'm just saying that for a lot of us, we like our fancy underwear, like the thongs and things of that nature. Now, thongs do not help, especially if you're a runner, you're a biker, you're physically active, out sweating. Those thongs can ride up even more than they already do and cause some serious issues. And I do think that the nylon underwears and things of that nature can be problematic for folks. So cotton underwear, I know, kind of granny panties, or not using underwear, going commando can actually be helpful for folks that suffer with urinary tract infections. Now, stress can also provoke this stuff, lower immunity. Yes, you got to wipe front to back, not the other way around.
it's things to think about. It's also things to think about is, not to knock on hygiene, but knock on thongs. They slide around, and if you didn't wipe well when you went number two, that stuff can crawl up to the other way, and there's a lot of E. coli in your stool too. So something to think about. Now, I also wanted to make a big mention about the amount of sugar and alcohol that you consume. Those can have a huge impact too on the amount of E. coli that live in your system and the pH of your urinary tract and the pH of your vaginal tissue. So that's a big deal, because the more carbs, the more sugar you eat, the more that you are going to be feeding some bacteria and yeast in your body. So getting the diet right. Usually when I have folks that are suffering from a chronic or even an acute urinary tract infection situation, I'm like, no sugar, no alcohol, and try to go low carb for a little bit. I'm not saying you can't eat whole grains and things of that nature, but boy, if you cut it down, you'll be surprised how things can really turn around for you. Because unfortunately, one of the big reasons that I wanted to actually answer this question too on the podcast is because I see way too many women on antibiotics day in, day out for urinary tract infections, and they don't need to be trashing their gut for it. They could be just doing herbs, and things would be just fine in that department. So if you're looking at, okay, how do I determine if I'm dealing with a bladder infection versus a UTI versus a, and I apologize for using bladder infection and UTI simultaneously. It is not the same thing, and unfortunately, I even fall into that. So urinary tract infection. If you want to know if your urinary tract infection really truly is bacteria versus yeast versus whatever else it may be, you got to go to your doc. You got to get it tested. And that's like the number one way you're going to know, just like I mentioned before. But keeping in mind, if there's discharge with the UTI and it's white and it's curdly, okay, that's more like a yeast infection. If it's more greenish and it smells pretty bad, kind of fishy, you might be looking at bacterial vaginosis causing the urinary tract to be irritated. If you're headed into perimenopausal status, you might actually be dealing with a low estrogen. And so getting that checked out, you can check that via blood or saliva to find out where you're at in that department. And if there's itchiness going on with the burning, it's usually a yeasty kind of thing, or it could be a sexually transmitted disease if you have a new partner and, you know, you just had sex with a new partner. So things to think about in that department. So what do I do with my folks who have these chronic persistent urinary tract infections? Well, I try to keep them off of antibiotics. And so what I'm having them do is drinking a teaspoon of D-mannose every single day. The company I like is the company called Clear Tract Powder. It's in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. I'm actually going to have all my protocols in there, so don't worry. You can find them all there. I have that going on for folks in water, and then I have a Uva Ursi marshmallow root mixed tea that I will have these folks drinking, especially after sex. For some reason, it just all the friction in there can cause some issues for folks, especially if you're perimenopausal, especially if you're really stressed out. Unfortunately, chronic urinary tract infections have caused ladies to also have some sexual dysfunction because, hey, you know, is it worth it to have sex and then have an awful urinary tract infection? And so I hear you. I had that problem when I was younger, and I think that a lot of ladies have that issue. And it's a big issue. It impacts you greatly. And we all want a healthy sex life. And so, you know, might be worth it to consider working on D-mannose as a regular thing, maybe a Uva Ursi marshmallow root tea. And the reason for marshmallow root is because it's soothing. Now, you can also add in corn silk. So the top of an ear of corn, all that stuff on the top of it that you get all stuck all over your fingers when you're trying to shuck the corn. Yeah, that corn silk can also be used in tea because it is soothing to the urinary tract. Now, you want to get an organic
type if you are going to use that. Say that's what you've got on hand. But it can be extremely soothing because it helps with just cooling that urinary tract off so it doesn't burn so bad. And that's what marshmallow root does as well. And you can grab marshmallow root and Uva Ursi at mountainroseherbals.com. And like I said before, 1 teaspoon of the dry herb per cup of water, and you make yourself a little tonic. And so I'll have folks drinking that after sex. I'll have folks drinking that or the D-mannose. I highly recommend both the D-mannose and the tonic, though. Once you haven't had a urinary tract infection for 6 months, then we can drop to one or the other. And then I usually keep folks on it for a whole year, and then we see how things go. But also, we're looking at lowering the amount of sugar and alcohol in the diet. We're looking at making sure hygiene's on point after sex, looking at making sure that underwear is in a good status, and also making sure that the immune system and all the hormones are in check, because hormonal fluxes, like I said, dropping in the estrogen can be a big deal. And also getting your urine culture to know what is the culprit. Is it yeast? Is it more of a bacteria? Is it E. coli, or is it something else, and do we need to go a different route? So getting things checked out is highly important, because the more information you have, the better you can treat these things. So that is my spiel on how to work on acute and chronic urinary tract infections. For protocols, head over to drjkrausnd.com, and I'll lay it out for you all in bullet point there for how to fix a chronic or an acute urinary tract infection. Once again, I have loved answering this question, so please keep those questions coming. I love to give as much information as I possibly can. You can head on over to drjkrausnd.com and submit your questions. Give me a shout. Make some comments. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if you tried my protocols and how you did. Alrighty, everybody. You have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.